Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me, I have Steve, Chris, Lauren, and Sharpie. Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Howdy, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, howdy. Hello. On today's show, we're going to jump in with a little bit of news. There's also a new offer out. We're getting a couple. We're going to talk about those. But our main topic for today is focused around group travel to Disney, as well as how to travel with multi-generations. So that's going to be kind of fun. All right, so there's a new offer out.
Yes, the summer room discounts came out, and summer packages, which are basically the same thing. And the booking window is March 27th to July 14th. The travel window is May 28th to August 31st. And they're basically your normal room discounts, anywhere from 10% to 30% off the rooms. Standard things are not included. French Quarter, Bay Lake Tower, some of the villas, things like that. Let's see what else. And the offer just was released on Monday, so there's still availability, which is nice, somewhat anyway. Yeah, and that's it. Nothing crazy.
Can I just add something? So what do we always say? We always say, book the first discount that comes out because it's going to be the best. And Lauren and I and Sharpie, we've all been changing clients or attempting to change clients over. It's not that good of a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's definitely run of the mill kind of average.
Well, yeah, I don't even know if it's average.
I think too, if you book, you know, for your clients that booked in January, they already saved money before the discounts even came out, because if they, when they book a discount at that point, do the early booking discount, which was that free meal deal, and they get last year's pricing on tickets and dining. So it's really hard because that's about a 7% increase for the tickets and the dining. And that's a bulk of your vacation package. So when you already have that discount on there, plus the free meal deal, you can't even compare to the current discounts that came out. You're actually paying more money to switch to the new promo.
That is absolutely true, because every client I had was booked pretty much under that previous, you know, the previous ticket prices and everything, except for one person, and he listens to the show, and he's the only one who, what I quoted him last week is less this week. He's the only one.
Yeah, so, because it was after the ticket and dining increase.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
So for all of you people that actually got into it early and took care of it early, you actually made out better.
Yep. And, you know, I initially remember when, like, the when the free meal thing for the values came out, we were like, oh, that's not so such a good deal. It's looking pretty good now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You forget that there's going to be the ticket and dining increase, though. And that,
yes,
you know, they all got in under both, which was great.
That's something we need to remind people of every year is come February, or even maybe possibly late January, you need to be aware of those increases. And if you're locked into your summer discount already, you're pretty much good to go.
Yep. You're set.
Very good. All right. I think Sharpie, you were going to help us out with a little bit of news.
Big changes coming to security at the Magic Kingdom. You will now be able to go through security at any of the monorail resorts if you are a guest there. But you will also be able to go through security, or actually you will have to go through security if you're coming through the parking lot at the Ticket and Transportation Center. Or if you are coming to the Magic Kingdom from another park, you will also have to go through security at Ticket and Transportation Center there as well. So that's big changes coming there, and they will also be backing the security off of the main gate area toward the buses. So if you're coming to the Magic Kingdom from your resort, Disney Resort Hotel, that's not on the monorail, you'll go through security further back from the main gate. So they're pushing this back, and that actually starts just this coming week toward the beginning of April.
Which I think is smart, because if you've seen those security lines since they put in the detectors, it's they need them. It's a good thing, but the security lines have gotten out of control. Like it's just total like gridlock there.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a mess. And someone, I think it was Mandy, who said that it's keeping people from getting off the ferry. That's how far the lines are pushing out. And so it is a good idea to change that. I'll be there and at Universal next week, and I'll have some pictures up on the Facebook page, of course, of both, but I'll make sure I take specifically some pictures of those new security measures.
Very good. All right. So yeah. I think we're going to move on to our topic for tonight, and it's groups. And specifically, we can touch on multi-generational groups or families that go. They don't necessarily have to have 20 people, but there are all kinds of different groups that go down to Disney, and they can go on a cruise. They can go on any Disney destination, but it can be friends. It can be family. It can be an incentive trip through your office, all kinds of good things. And seeing that Disney is such a big convention resort, a lot of the work conventions are held there.
And the trend in the travel industry is for grandma and grandpa to be taking everyone on a trip together. And for a lot of families, especially families with younger kids, that's that destination is Disney. More and more older Americans who have saved up and saved up and saved up to pass something on to their family when they're no longer here are not doing that. Instead, they're spending that money while they're still with their families, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Disney's referring to that as the living legacy.
Yep. Absolutely. And to be honest, what better memories to remember with your families? I mean, that's, we took my parents to Disney, just a couple years before my mom passed away, and I absolutely treasure the memories of the vacation that we spent with her and my dad. So.
Yeah.
I actually, these are some of my favorite groups, and I find just about everyone has certain commonalities. And one of them is the moms are always doing the fast passes. They're always planning. The dads don't plan. And that we don't get hoppers. Because like when you have a grandma and grandpa who maybe are not as mobile as, you know, the younger people, and then you have little kids, hoppers don't necessarily work. Another thing I find is, like I said, like there's usually a mom in the group who I deal with the most. She's always making the plan. She's making a lot of the decisions. We set up Facebook pages for that. And I think it works really well if you like I found I've been able, and I know that doesn't work for everyone. Like I know that Lauren is not a big fan of that, but for me, I like to be able to go into the Facebook page and answer questions so that like, if I've got two daughters and a daughter-in-law, that they don't feel like they're left out, they can all get their questions answered. But they're a lot of fun. Those are fun groups. And, you know, if you're working with Disney, they can make sure your rooms are all together. Or if you don't want to be together, you can also make sure that happens.
I think so it's funny how many don't.
All-Star Sports.
Believe it or not.
One family at All-Star Music. One family at All-Star Movies.
Yeah, no, it's true. Go ahead,
I've done quite a few groups where I've had people say, you know, if Uncle Joe isn't with Aunt Sally or any building near them, that's okay.
Oh, yes. I had a group, it was a few years ago, and it was four rooms. And, you know, it was the grandparents with the grandchildren and the sons and daughters. And one of the husbands called me and said, I don't want to say this to anyone, but I really don't want to be in the same building with my mother-in-law. And so we put that on the room request.
But I have to say, Chris, going back to what you said, I don't necessarily agree with the no park hopper thing.
Oh.
Because I think that if it really depends on the family, if yep. they're a family that's been there before and they know the ins and outs of Disney, like we traveled as a group pretty much every year with my family. And there was anywhere from 20 to 30 of us. And we always got the park hopper because we knew how to maneuver through the parks, and we had kids of all ages going with us. And we would just do them because grandma and grandpa, well, the two grandmas in my case, the two grandmas would take the younger ones back to the room at night. And then the kids would all go and play in an Epcot that night. So well, we always had the park hopper for that reason, because a lot of times the grandparents would get tired and they'd be like, you know what? We're kind of done. We're going to go back. Whose kids want to go back with us?
And that's smart.
You know, so you do want to have those options. So I think it really depends on the family. There's plenty of families that it's their first time going. They've got 2 and 3 year olds and, you know, it may not be the most ideal situation, but I do think that there are situations where it is a good idea.
Well, and in those situations, I tell people, add it when you get there. Don't add it. We always say this, don't add it at the resort, because then your entire room has to have it, but you can add it in the park. So say the mom's going to want to hang out with her mom and her parents back at the resort, but maybe she's got a teenager and dad, and there's some other cousins. They can all add the hopper to their base ticket at the park. And so it won't be added for everyone in the room. And so you can pick and choose that way.
Yeah, you can, but it doesn't always work
that way. Grandma and grandpa, right? But that way, grandma and grandpa aren't stuck paying $80 per person for a hopper they're not going to use, or a 3-year-old who's going to spend his time with grandma and grandpa but is staying in the room with his parents mm-hmm. is not going to have a hopper. So you have some options. I mean, I would never say a blanket policy against not having it, but a lot of times I find not everyone needs it. So since it's so flexible to add it once you get to Disney, I say add it there if you can.
That's something to remember, especially in traveling with a group, is flexibility has to be the top thing on your priority list.
Right.
Because whenever you have different ages, you have different generations, you have, say, for instance, siblings that have kids of their own, the age groups, if you throw teenagers into the mix, if you throw young adults into the mix, there's a lot of potential there for this group to go together, that group to go together, and leaving you most flexible, that would be a situation where I would probably advocate for the park hopper, so that way anyone can go anywhere they want to, no matter where we're having a group dinner, no matter where a group is going to the fireworks. Just it really is a flexibility option, but that's one thing. The park hopper does come with a price tag. So
yeah, that's the thing. Well, and when people are spending so much already, yeah. I'll be quite honest. Sometimes I've had families say to me, "I can't add another $300 to this room. I'm going to do it when I get there if I feel comfortable with it." So a lot of times I just say, "Don't add it." The sticker shock can be really high with Disney, and sometimes just taking that $300 off makes a big deal for some people. So, but yeah, I love the flexibility of hopping. So I have no issue with that, but
I think it's funny how, the idea of a park hopper is, it's a grand one. It's great. You think about it, I get all this freedom, but then when you do go with base tickets and like Chris is saying, you upgrade there, when they're saying it's going to cost you $300 for the privilege of going from park to park, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're thinking you want to go to Epcot, but you may or may not be park hopping in your other days. You're like, wait a minute, $300? And I just said no to a $5 thing of popcorn because
we're, yes.
So it hits home when you're there and you're having fun in one park, and you're like, just to go to the other park, I'm going to pay this. But yeah. Some people love it. I think another thing to consider when you're choosing a hopper or not is the duration of the stay. When you're doing 3-4 days, you're probably not going to have time to park hop. If you're doing more like a 7 or 8 night, then it has a lot more value.
That's true.
Yeah, very good point.
So what is something else you would advise a large group? Like, honestly, where would you, like, what about?
Use a travel agent.
Oh, that is true.
No, honestly, because they're going to coordinate everything for you. They're going to book your dining. They know the back doors to try to get you your dining reservations. I mean, there's
handle everyone's payments separately. So yeah, that way one member of the family doesn't have planning the entire trip on their shoulders.
Yep. Fast passes. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I really like the idea of that. Of just sort of a big group. You know, I had one lady one time, she was going through chemotherapy And so a year out, they planned their trip. And by the time she was done with chemo and I don't understand necessarily how this works, but she was given, you know, a somewhat clean bill of health. That was her celebration, but she did it so she wanted to take her grandkids. She had lots of grandkids and like, I think it was Sharpie said the living legacy thing and just being able to have that experience. You know, I think that's really special and I think it's a wonderful place to go and do that. So.
I don't know. I've had fun with groups. It depends. There's like two different ways.
You don't like groups.
It's two. Well, there's you just, that's what I mean. There's two different ways. Like, so the one that I, if you have your Pied Piper who sets it up or your Lauren who's leading everybody when she does her, you know, family groups that go, then I think it's organized and everyone knows where to go. And I think it works out. But then sometimes when I go, you know, people join the group midway. So you seem to spend a lot of time waiting to catch up with people or there's always a bathroom break or someone's always, it's very hard to keep the group together.
And you shouldn't plan to keep everyone together for the duration of your vacation, because it's not realistic, because it's going to slow everyone down. It's going to lead to a lot of frustration, especially with younger kids, and even people who may have some mobility issues. Thinking more toward the higher end of the age spectrum, or people with injury or something like that. That's something to keep in mind: is that the time on your feet or being throughout the parks, it is exhausting. As I always like to joke, there's no tired like Disney tired.
True.
Yeah, that's true. True.
We used to split tired. Our group
up. It yeah. is a good tired. Mm-hmm.
We would split
it's
our
a feeling group. Of accomplishment.
Yes.
Well, and then when you look at all the steps you do, that's the accomplishment.
Do you know what? I do fewer steps at Disney. I'm not really? Even kidding. Yes.
Oh, not me. I like because knock it out of the park.
Because I don't work out at Disney. So it's like, I'm actually, because I'm supposed to be on a diet because none of my summer clothes fit. And I'm actually like trying to figure out what I'm going to do down there next week because I don't want to lose the momentum I have. But I'm like, I don't walk as much there. So.
Oh, I easily do 10 plus miles in a day. Easily.
Yeah.
I've done over 13 before.
I don't think I do. It wasn't a half marathon. I think I do like 7 or 8. I think I do like 7 or 8 a day down there. So I'm going to see, I don't always wear my Fitbit down there and God knows I love my Fitbit. Like I'm obsessed with it, but, I just got the new Fitbit scale. So it tracks everything. So you can't lie to yourself. So we'll see how that goes.
Nice.
But yeah. So especially planning for specific attractions, targeted for younger kids. Of course, that's the beauty of Disney. Everyone can ride almost everything together, except for your roller coasters and things of that nature. But that's kind of one of the beautiful things about spending the day in Fantasyland is you've got Peter Pan there, you've got the carousel, you've got Small World. All of those attractions are family friendly for everyone, except for, you know, maybe the teacups.
The teacups.
Those things make me sick to my stomach.
Not everyone loves the teacups as much as I do.
Steve loves
that's
them.
Okay. Oh. I do too. Mm-hmm. Everyone should take them for a spin.
Oh. So I actually think one important thing to mention is the baby swap, because this is really, unless you have the grandma and baby swap where grandma doesn't want to go on Space Mountain. So she just sits there and holds the baby.
Yeah. And for many grandmas, they will not turn down the opportunity to hold the baby.
That's just so cute. That's... I've actually seen that quite often in the parks. It's adorable.
Okay. So if you were going with a group, family reunion, good size group of people, are there some resorts that are going to be better than others?
Okay. Can I just say this? Pop Century is the perfect resort. We all know I feel that way, but one thing I notice is there's always like, especially if you get like a big family reunion, like 7 or 8 rooms, you're always going to get 2 or 3 people in that group who maybe don't have the budget for that moderate that maybe part of the group wants or that deluxe. I have put a lot of people in Pop for that reason, just everyone just sort of goes, like, do you suggest to people they go down to the lowest budget or go up, or does everyone just stay in different places?
I personally would look at pop. I would look at French Quarter because it's small. The downside to French Quarter is no discounts.
Right.
So then you would look at Riverside, potentially secondary. And I would also look at Old Key West and get a couple of 2-bedroom villas, depending on the families and the breakdown of the families.
Or then you can Saratoga cook. Springs.
Yeah,
Saratoga Springs is often in the same price.
Yeah, we know how I feel about that one.
See, Sharpie and I love Saratoga Springs. It's clean, it's pretty, it's nice. And that pool, that's my favorite pool on property, is Saratoga Springs Pool. It's wonderful.
Did nothing for me.
Oh, okay. So Sharpie.
Chris, you single-handedly ruined Saratoga Springs for me.
I swear to God. I'm going to start. Yes. So, okay. So I actually love that resort. I do. And I'm sorry you had to sleep on the fold out. It was not comfortable. I will admit that. But I like pop, you know, as we said earlier, you can put everyone, you can link the reservation so you can be close if you want. But pop is great because everyone can, just about everyone's budget works for that. And I know like one time, like it only holds 4 people, right? Like 4 people per room. So that's kind of like a problem if someone has 3. So you can always move a kid to grandma's room, grandma and grandpa's room, or you can, you know, switch the kids around. I know one lady I sent there, they had like 3 or 4 rooms. And they were lovely Canadians. Mm-hmm. And they ended up having like all the kids sleeping in one room. All the grownups had their own room. I mean, you know, the kids were, you know, older, so they were safe. And the room was between everyone else's room. So it was fine. So you can make your adjustments once you get there.
Yeah. And then because a lot of people ask about, let's do it. Let's do a 3-bedroom villa. Because they are available, but they are extremely expensive.
People are shocked. Like, they're like, well, I need 3 rooms at the Contemporary. How much is a villa? And they're like, oh, never mind when you tell them the price.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I always price out option number 2 as being 3 separate rooms someplace else.
Yeah. Just so they don't fall over.
What about like a couple suites at Art of Animation? Have everyone kind of pile in together?
See, that's a tough one. I love that.
And that's because there you have a bed shortage. Yeah. Grandma and grandpa to be sleeping on the sleeper sofa because they're comfortable, but let's face it, if you're going to be there for a week, they're not that comfortable.
And you don't want to put some people, like your families of 5 in a suite, and then put grandma and grandpa in the Little Mermaid rooms and they don't get a discount.
Right.
So that's a downside.
Well,
now
that being said,
you can do family suites at Art of Animation and do Pop Century for those people that would like a discount still. And they're not far from each other. I've done that with some people.
Lauren, I've actually done that. But the other thing I have done is I've gone ahead and done the parents in the suites and grandparents in Little Mermaid suites. Can I tell you, you know how you hate that walk between those? Yep. They hated it too. That was their only, I'm not going to say complaint because they had a wonderful trip, but there was the only downside.
People have to sit together.
Stop. No, I didn't talk to the grandparents. I talked to their son, who's a young buck. Yes. He said, Chris, we loved the resort. We loved Art of Animation. We did not love the walk between, Little Mermaid, and they were in
the line. That's like when you want a cup of coffee, that is like the walk of death to get a cup of coffee.
So I don't necessarily agree, but you know,
what are your thoughts on Fort Wilderness on doing cabins?
Okay. I have an issue with cabins. Because the word is cabin and there's a hint that I'm camping or something there. No.
See, that's not my problem. My problem is that now not only do you have the expense of the cabin, which is higher than a regular moderate resort slightly, you also have the need for either driving and having a car or renting a golf cart at like $300 for the week.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
and the golf cart only sits 5, so you need several if you have a group.
And I think the issue that I would have specifically looking at doing a large group at Fort Wilderness is the fact that there is only one bathroom in each cabin.
Yes. That is kind of annoying, right? I mean, they put two bathrooms into the Poly DVC studios. They couldn't put a, I don't know, it's awful in that cabin.
Yeah, it's, I think it's definitely something that they use those to fill a specific market. But there are definitely a few drawbacks. I mean, I love the environment out there. I love the whole staying in a hotel while camping thing. That's cool.
Right.
But the location is kind of tough. And then the internal bus loop connecting you to the external bus loop, it can be time consuming.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it with a big group. I think that would be very over with a big group of people.
Yeah.
So obviously your best resort for a large group is the Contemporary, in my opinion, if you're going deluxe. And the reason is because of the transportation. And once again, the thing with Animal Kingdom Lodge is your transportation time. It can take quite a while to get anywhere on property. So... yeah.
And why is that? Because like, it's really not any farther than like Pop Century, but for some reason, it just seems like it takes much longer to get from Animal Kingdom. It's kind of annoying, I guess, because that second bus stop. But yeah, you're right about that.
Steve, if you went with a group, where would you stay?
I don't know. I don't know the room layouts as good as everybody else does.
That's the worst answer ever.
I mean, you guys.
Steve's going to sleep in the truckster.
Will you do it?
He's going to. Arby's.
You could just bring a VW to Arby's. And then you could have a group.
And give him a pillow and a blanket. He said.
Do you know why he's having such a hard time with this question? Because he can't imagine traveling with a group of people. Yeah. He's just like, wait, do I have friends in this scenario?
Do I have to hang out with them?
Wait, he travels with all of us.
Yeah, but we tell them where to go and what to do. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I usually just
if there's something up high, then we pay attention to them. Hey, get that for me, stretch. Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
or hey, Steve, can you see what's going on over there? We can't see that.
Can you see over there? That'd be great. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, we don't need the group flag. I just kind of walk in the front.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have to say it is nice when you're around because I can always find you.
I'm not going to lie. It's
Steve really sticks out in the crowd.
Literally. Yes. Yeah. Aww. He like towers over everybody else. It's like, where'd they go? Oh, there's Steve.
Head
and shoulders above the rest.
Well, let's keep it moving here. Let's go with group dining. Where would you guys recommend?
Ohana.
Yes. Ohana.
Ohana's great for group. Trails End is good for group dining.
Now, why do you think Ohana's good for groups? Because I think I heard Sharpie before the show.
Yeah, see, my group experience at Ohana not so great.
See, I've had several there, and they've all been fantastic.
Yeah, I've never had a bad one.
In my experience, they either split you up.
Never been so split.
You're at different tables. Yeah, you have. We had a mouse chat trip there where we split up.
No, we didn't. We were all together.
No, we were split up, Lauren. Sharpie's right. Tables.
I don't think I was at that one.
It was a mouse chat meetup. We were at like four different tables and it didn't stink.
You guys, that one without me, I wasn't at that one.
Oh, okay. That was the secret one we didn't tell her about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of annoying. Sharpie has an awesome point. But, you know, before we got that huge table in the middle that seats like 20 people, it was fantastic.
Yeah. And we did that too with a group of our friends and family. And we were, like we had three different servers for our table.
Yeah.
So it was like constantly, we were like that end of the table got drinks. We didn't. And I can see how it would be good because they do move tables and they're very flexible and accommodating, but.
I do have to say the drink service can take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. The drink service. I don't know. Yeah. Like Lauren, like and Sharpie, we've had really good experiences and then we've had, you know, everybody at their, you know, party of six round tables all across the restaurant.
Don't you hate that? And that's
not
happens.
Why you wanted a group. That's So yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do 1900 Park Fair with a big group. I mean, I've done it and
oh, I think it's fine with a big group. I've got all, a big group here.
You're actually all over the place there. We did it with 35 cheerleaders and we were at 7 different tables.
Yeah, because of the structure of that restaurant, there are very few table sections that they would consolidate.
There's no way I actually spoke with them on the phone and they said, look, you can book this all as one reservation. You're still going to not be together.
Yeah.
They said it doesn't matter. Be our guest if you can get in with a big group. They have the long tables that can accommodate a big group. They're just really hard to get into.
But when it comes right down to it, having a big table is just the same as having different tables because you have no idea if you're at one end what the other end of the table is talking about anyway.
That's true.
You break off into groups and sometimes you kind of go back and forth, but it really does happen. It's the end result is the same.
That is a valid point. I don't think there's any restaurant.
You hate it.
There's probably no restaurant that I would steer away from, but there are just some that are better than others.
Yeah.
I at least want to see the people in my group. Like when we went to the Wave and we were all like on separate sides of the room, I was like, oh, this is sad.
Well, that's true.
That was bad.
That one wasn't bad or wasn't funny. That was bad.
That's true. Our last mouse chat.
We had juice cases like that. We did Monsieur Paul and that one. Both happened that way.
Yeah, that was pretty crummy.
And both were just random tables.
And we're not speaking about the bread service, right, Lisa?
No, we're not.
Yeah, it's tough. But sometimes they put you at two separate tables. I mean, sometimes you don't even get sat at the same time at some of those.
Lisa, we did Le Chef's de France, and they put us all in one table. That was good.
Well, they have the long benches, and so they just started shoving tables together, and here you go.
I'm trying to think what else. Whispering Canyon's a good place.
That's always worked out very well for us.
That's a good place for big groups. Mm-hmm. Hoop-de-doo review is fun with a big group of people. You're not going to sit together, but it's a really fun thing to do with a big group.
Okay.
You know what else is good? Is Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
I have never done that.
You need to do that. Either. And it would be awesome for groups because you do get to get up and dance and play with the kids that you're bringing and the characters. And
I think you should take me, Lisa.
Yeah, I might. But I like that one for families.
Jeez, Steve.
I don't even know what I was saying, but it was good, whatever it was.
About the campground, sorry.
Oh, yeah, or the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. It's a good excursion for groups. They've got like the Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. There's like a freezer, and I need to stop saying like, there is a freezer of Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. Lauren, you just go get whatever you want.
Oh, that's a little piece of heaven right there.
Yup. And I think they have unlimited beer and wine. There's another little piece of heaven for you, Lauren.
That's like the perfect storm.
How could you not have gone there?
Yeah, Lauren's like, sign me up. How have I not gone there before?
I do believe we may need to do that.
Don't do it when I'm there because there's no way.
Oh, I'm so signing your butt up for that. Ah!
Well, you can pay for it too because it's like 2 credits. I'm not paying 2 credits to eat horrible food.
Yeah, for 2 credits, I think I'd probably rather.
No. Yep. I just am not paying a lot of money for bad food because I've heard nothing but bad things about the food. Plus, you know, I'm not a dancing kind of girl. So
there's chipmunks.
I don't care. I can see those chipmunks for free.
I love Chippendale. They'd be my favorite.
Are they really?
Yes, they're my favorite characters.
That's because your girls like them.
Such a crab apple, like such a cheerful little duo.
They are my favorite characters by far.
So that's why you enjoyed Garden Grill so much.
Yep. Yes. Love it.
Because I love Garden Grill as well. But I'm in love with the menu at Garden Grill because it's very tasty.
Lauren and I are setting up to go there. We need to go there.
I'm in.
Oh, no. We did Le Cellier.
Yeah, we may have to skip over just for a barbecue.
Are you going to Le Cellier while you're down there, Lauren? I didn't know that you were going to Magic Kingdom or to Walt Disney World.
You want to know why we're going to Walt Disney World?
I talked Lisa and Jess into it.
Because she has to say goodbye to Wishes.
I need to say goodbye to Wishes.
Oh, gosh, that's going to be really emotional for you.
So Lisa counter-negotiated and said, that's fine, but I get to pick the restaurant. And I said, okay.
Now, so are you spending the night there or what?
No. We're just going to go over. We're going to eat dinner at Le Cellier, and then we're going to go over to the Magic Kingdom and get some ice cream and say goodbye to Wishes.
And what are we doing? Oh, go ahead.
I'll be thinking of you while I'm on my sucky camping trip.
Yeah, that's much worse. I'm so excited I get to see. Lisa's nice to me. She's taking me to see Wishes one last time.
And why else am I nice? Lauren finagled. She said, because we're going to Le Cellier. And she's like, oh, I can just pop over and get me a Grey Goose slush. No, or what's
your orange Grand Marnier?
And I said, how do you figure that France is right next to Canada? She said, it's right there. What do you mean?
So, hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah. So I'm going to
listen. It's always about the Grand Marnier.
It's fine.
You picked the restaurant. You could have picked anywhere on Disney property. It's not my fault you picked something so close to France.
Monsieur Paul is close to France.
It's right there. It's so close.
Yeah.
It's right on the border.
Le Cellier, maybe not. Just because they speak French in Canada in places, that's not a connection.
I'm feeling the connection.
Well, Lauren doesn't speak French. She speaks Grey Goose vodka slushy.
I really do.
All right. Okay. We're dragging this one on too far. So I think we're done. We've talked about
groups. I think Steve just did the finger roll?
He didn't, but I could feel it. It was like this mental thing that he just threw my way. Oh, now he's doing this weird thing on his temples, trying to telepathically send me messages. He's a dork. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I'd like to thank you. No, wait. Let's wrap up the show. I'd like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you enjoy listening to our shows, you can find more of them at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. You can also send comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.